themes, topics, wonder, complaints.
Just the same old, you know?
Pretty much.
But if you have no memory of anything, it's always fresh. Yeah.
Unburdened by memory, unburdened by expectation.
You're like 51st States. Do I know you?
Well, you know, there's this person I knew from, she was my neighbor when I was growing up as a little kid. She just is always putting these things on Facebook about her wonderful daughter and lovely, all these cliche kind of things. And it occurred to me, like, after a long time, many months of seeing these things, she has a daughter who has, what do you call it, Down syndrome, I think it's Down syndrome. She probably is doing that because I don't know if the daughter remembers or whatever, but she's simple, you know. She sees that, she appreciates that. I'll never, you know, it took me a while to realize she's doing that. Presumably, I don't know, but doing that for herself, she's doing that so her daughter can see it, and, you know, her daughter's not going to tell her. That's sort of like that. You know, same old, but in that case, it's maybe a little fresher.
If there's, there's the aroma of innocence. It's fresh. And, you know, when we're jaded by habit and fatigue and knowledge, it stops being fresh.
Yeah, freshness.
Even as the texture of fresh gets coerced or turned into some kind of, you know, advantageous communion, then it loses the fresh. Right, once the acquisitive nature of my being tries to attach to or derive from, acquire, store, make my own, then the freshness diminishes because now it's an object of acquisition rather than, right, open and evaporative.
Yeah, it's a whole different.
Yes. Just arrived from Virginia?
Well, not just, but yeah.
Yeah. It's been you in years.
No, I've been
calling. You gave up on us.
Oh, nice. You brought us a foil bag.
Did.
There's no carbs in there, right? That's
they are gluten-free.
For me.
They're gluten-free lime crackers.
Oh, gluten-free lime crackers. Well, no one in this room can eat them.
Catch you, bro.
We've all gone keto.
They all cut the keto.
Ketosis.
Yeah. Would you like to have a lime chip?
Line
okay, good. I'm going to toss this over to you. Ready?
Oh, I see. I get
more
lunch.
Now it's lime crumbs.
The green smoke.
Sorry.
Fine.
You're on TV if you don't mind. Yeah. Well, let me see. I'll see if I can take you out of the TV.
There you go.
You're no longer on TV.
Thank you.
Lime chips.
Gluten free.
Yay.
I just really want to. It won't hurt you. It smells. Just give him a good smell.
There you go. That's not going to hurt you. I can't eat this.
Oh, Ryan, you would like these.
All right, thank you. You gonna have one? No, not for you. You're good.
What happens in the box? There are Costco things, so there's two of those in a box.
Yeah, Dave got the other one.
He doesn't do lime. They got to be plain.
So. Well, that's right. It's lime. He won't touch it.
Too much flavor. That's good. So it all started with being on the beach, and somebody mentions the whatever noble truths of the Buddha, and one of them is life is suffering, and I start crying.
Great.
And I'm listening.
You always get the most mileage out of everything.
Jesus. And I'm like, I was hoping he wouldn't notice, and I don't think he did. But I've been listening to Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run.
Oh.
It's really good. It's his autobiography, and it's like 18 hours worth of audio.
Oh, sweet. You're listening to audio of it?
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Like, he is so friggin' poetic. He's just gorgeous. Like,
yeah.
His words and the way he describes things, and I'm totally enjoying it, but.
Yeah. Who's reading it?
Him.
Oh, nice. Bruce actually read his own book?
Yep.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's really good.
Yeah, it really helps if the author does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially him.
That's cool.
But, you know, he covers different, I mean, he from when I was in high school all the way through up.
So you were on the beach with Bruce Springsteen and he was talking about the Four Noble Truths and then you started crying? I would have too.
When you get the Four noble Truths from Springsteen.
From the boss.
All
that's right.
Over.
Yeah, that's right. Life is suffering. You're so right. I love you. Sorry, go ahead.
And I know it's... Fuck. I don't know anything.
That's
I really
right.
don't know anything. Not a thing. It's why I'm
here. This is not going to help.
No.
But you can notice the absolutely formidable reflex of insisting on a frame of reference for what you call your experience. And that's a big yoga. If you can actually spot the reflex of manufacturing, associating, projecting, promoting, believing in, reinforcing any kind of frame of reference for your own present experience, well, then, you know, you're creature-fied. And you're telling yourself and everybody else stories that justify the presumption of your so-called individual existence. To see that without the force of narrative, without the force of persona, that reflexively creates and or hallucinates frames of reference for your so-called experience, you really, really, as in really, 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 don't know what this is. And there's no need to defend yourself, justify yourself, tell a story to cover a story, like tell a lie to cover a lie, or reach into your, you know, psychiatric bag of tricks to pretend that you can actually report on yourself, to yourself, by yourself, about yourself. Seeing the merely the undulating nature of reference, 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 implication, time, emotion, and everything else that accompanies that. It's a throbbing quality of, you know, identification projection, or identification reinforcement. And it's as empty as a sack of apples at the Ohio State Fair. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But it's pretty empty. you are pretty empty. You're like rockin' empty. Crazy, scary, empty. And that, you could say, is the beauty of it. But now the beauty is not ascribing a quality to, let's say, objects, though objects can be quite beautiful. The beauty is the cessation of persona and the absence of any particular quality. That's the beauty, which is not object dependent. It's not subject dependent. It's just this, the beauty of it. The whole tragedy of humanity, for as long as it may persist, some might suggest it's not going to persist much longer. Some are not worried about that. But for as long as it may persist, it is appearing in this quality-less beauty. Mind is a, I don't know, besides being a sack of shit, mind is, you know, the perpetual complainer, the perpetual identifier, the perpetual proclaimer, and the perpetual recipient of, you know, forces either under or outside of your control, all of which have some kind of implication, whether it's pleasant, neutral, or unpleasant. And we writhe in this, you could say, self-afflictive hysteria. Improvisationally, impersonally, without motive, really. We're insane without motive. And being insane is not a survival mechanism. That's bullshit. And it's not a reaction to anything. That's bullshit. It neither brings you anything nor relieves you of anything. Being insane is itself. It doesn't have a reason, a cause, a genesis, or a purpose. You're just insane.
But in the insanity, it's all full of reaction, though.
Well, that is the insanity.
Yeah. Do you think that if the Buddha would have thought about it another couple of days,
He
would have said, mind is suffering rather than life is suffering?
Remember the Pali, if it was indeed Pali, that he was speaking to get his insights across. I don't think the Buddha stood up one day and said, I got these four fucking truths, you got to check this out. Okay, and here they are. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. Remember the written record of the body of insight came much later. And the oral tradition of Buddhist teaching was sung before it was written. And so what we receive as the Pali Canon, or whatever, you know, books you want to go to, are somebody else's idea of what the Buddha may have actually spoken or taught. And who knows, they might have overheard him speaking to, you know, a friend on a log. He wasn't speaking to the universe at large. And maybe his comment was, this blows. And they were like, life is suffering, you know, and he might not have intended it. So you don't really know what, you know, what he said or meant. But then one becomes a, you know, you become kind of like a convenience store clerk, presuming that what's on the shelves, you know, has some reason or purpose for being there. And it doesn't. So sure, you know, a more refined exposition of that insight could have been, mind is suffering. Delusion is suffering. Suffering is suffering. It didn't have to be life. is suffering. But when you look into, you know, insights around the nature of dukkha, suffering, unsatisfactoriness, there was a lot of exposition about dukkha being having to bathe the thing and feed the thing and clothe the thing and present it, you know, to an employer, you know, right? Just the sheer maintenance of the biologic is like, of course, being the recipient of a lifelong sentence of experiencing, he was like, you know, jury's out. Are you having a good time? Or, you know, would you have made another choice if you'd known that this would be the way that it is? Right? Before you were born, if someone had said, so you want to go another round? You might have said, I'll pass. Lime chip and I'm good. So who knows? Your one is, you know, human consciousness, human memes, the gift, the dubious gift of symbology is insane by nature. And even insane, you know, of course, is the liberty of a value judgment, isn't it? Maybe it's just, ouch. Maybe it's just deluded the way that it's deluded. It has a hard time coping with what we might refer to as reality as contrasted with, right, a mental projection of one or a million forms of hysteria. The inability to rest or resolve in the irresolvable and instead dwell mechanically in an arena of one's own imagination. Whew. Most of the spiritual grasping that goes on is just another form of assigning a frame of reference to the unspeakable beauty of it all for the sake of orientation. So let's say I don't like how it feels at the coal mine. Well, I'll start going to the Vipassana club. And the Vipassana club's starting to wear a little thin. And so I read Autobiography of a Yogi. And or, right? You know, if there were such a thing as realization, and hopefully there's not, but maybe there is. I don't know. It's possible that it would have absolutely nothing at all to do with the inertia and hysteria of human symbology systems that are all involuntary and impersonal.
That wouldn't be what I would first expect.
Not really. No. The first time you read, you know, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, you might be on a tear. You're not quite ready to see that the entire implication of being is specious. How free do you want to be? I mean, is there something that really insists on resolution? Or, you know, emotive closure? Forgiveness? Healing? Kirtan? No, not really. No. 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 There's nothing. There's just, whoa, whatever this is. Which, of course, includes, you know, the full pageantry of everything that everyone's doing and not doing, and what they say and think about it, and whether they successfully enroll you in it or not. Or whether they flip you the bird because, you know, you're not on their wavelength. You're not believing what they believe. You'd be lucky if they just flip you the bird. The next thing they do is send a drone over your neighborhood and kill your children. I mean, we'd be bad. We'd be some nasty motherfuckers. And that, you know, the violation of someone else's dignity through, you know, the machines of war is just an unconscionable tragedy of the, right, contention of human symbology. And yet, you know, while those of us in the room are not particularly violent and don't, you know, work for, let's say, egregiously violent institutions, we're all in it, aren't we? We're all in it. If you're not out on the corner in the middle of Doylestown with a poster that says war is not the answer, you may as well be quietly saying, yeah, war's not so bad. You know what I mean? It's not that we are particularly empowered, any of us, in any particular way, but you know that the whole social system, and I'm not just talking about, you know, these United States or the red states of the United States. I'm talking about the whole fucking shebang, no matter where you are. In a sense, we are all complicit, right? In the insanity of humanity.
That was just getting me about that recording.
Oh. Okay.
The historical backdrop that highlights insanity. Insanity.
Wow. Thank you, Sven. That's a really beautiful thing. I'm not going to repeat what Sven wrote, but it has a really Randy quality to it. This will get you, won't it? It'll climb right into your skin like a chigger, whatever those things are called, or some kind of parasite that crawls in your ear and then drives you insane. Right? It'll get right in you. And you're like, I mean, it's not possible to cope with this, actually, is it?
Well, use of spiritual seeking and what you're going to get spiritually is just, it's like a, for me, it was armor against.
Of course. Yeah. Yes.
As this falls away, the armor falls away.
Yes. Yeah.
Ridiculously human seems to be in my face.
Yes. Yep. Right. And you'll notice that, a certain, let's say, wave of, call it a wave of authenticity shows up, right? Because it has legs. It's not just a frivolous, you know, passing through. It's like, whoa, it really catches your attention. And it might be accompanied by, you know, emotional feeling tone and, you know, charging and discharging. And that is all, right, part of the poetry of so-called existence.
You don't get a pass. Nobody gets a pass.
No one gets one. And in a sense, no one really needs one. I mean, let's say for fun, not that I'm capable of it, but let's just say for fun, I had 10 seconds of, call it absolute fucking surrender. Right? There's just, oh man. With all one's insight, spiritual or educational, philosophical, emotional, right? Great insight gleaned through wondrous education and sensitive appreciation of the human condition, the so-called world over. Right? You're like, it's too big. It's just too much grandeur. even in the midst of the tragedy of it all. It's way too big. You can't contain it. You can't justify it. You can't use language to put it in a box. Right? In a sense, you could say that's a gift. Were there a gift of liberation? Were there liberation? Is like, right. A wave of intelligence or a wave of passion or compassion, a wave of intimacy that right, there's no words for you, is there? There's no words for this, is there? But sensing the quality of sensitivity that permits one's native or innate intelligence to feel the world in such a way is kind of nice. Kind of nice. But it's also accompanied by, you know, the urgency, let's just say, of a certain quality of maturity. Yes, to feel it and feel it again and feel it again. That's your 10 seconds of absolute surrender, where you meet yourself or you meet the whatever the universe might be, absolutely undefended. Yeah. And whatever that might be, it's, you know, way bigger than the imagination of my life, isn't it? It's way bigger than the imagination of my life and my belongings and my quest for security. Don't let this thing convince you of being human. It will try. Not that it's other than you, right? But in a sense, it will try. Just by virtue of familiarity, functionality, survival, practicality. It will convince you of the righteousness, of the usefulness, of the utility of being human. Don't let it. Right? Take the risk. Not. Take the risk not to permit this, including the inertia of your own so-called consciousness, to convince you of being human. And then what does it feel like? If I don't, right, reduce it to the, right, story of my body, the story of my mind, the story of my life, the story of my emotivity, my entitlements, my failures, my sorrows, as a victim and a perpetrator, of course. It's a step. It's an interesting step to take. How much of the, let's call it the world's major and minor religions, encourage and emphasize the companion intelligence of transhuman sensitivity? Most of them just harbor and play whack-a-mole on shame. Even the Buddhists do. Even the Hindus do. Maybe even the Kashmiris do, and the Dzogchen Cheners do, and the Neo-Advaitists do. You know? There's all this fucking shame-based underlayment in all of these, you know, crap house teachings. Yeah. Yeah, I set my my five mindfulness practice vows back to Thich Nhat Hanh and said, I don't want these anymore. You can have them.
You're going to give up your diploma?
Yeah.
You need to stop struggling.
Yeah, I gave up my diploma and my brown jacket and my lamp. Yeah. I sent back my various certificates to the places I received them from and said, I won't need this anymore. Not where I'm going. Not where I'm going. It's not that difficult, really. You know, it doesn't have to be a major thing to hand your human card back in. Say, shred it. You see, as a, you know, as the sense of self, as the aroma of self starts to lighten up a little bit, loosen up a little bit, lighten up a little bit, which also means, you know, expand a little bit, take on a different attitude toward suffering that you didn't think you could handle a week ago. So your aperture opens. And then what is this, actually? What is the nature of whatever the fuck present experience is? If you don't add anything to it, if you don't tell a story about it, if you don't convince yourself of having another moment to live, or what the implication of anything is. It's just crazy cool. It's nutty.
The story around it, there's just this and this and this.
Yeah.
Meaningless.
Well, let's say there's no judgment of whether it be meaningful or meaningless. You could say trans meaning doesn't rely on meaningful or meaningless. It doesn't require meaning.
And you can't have a problem.
Well,
it's not possible to have a problem.
Yes. I mean, and even the, let's say, the notion of having or not having problems is, well, it's no longer relevant. It's okay if you have a problem. It's okay if you don't anymore. By the presence of problems or the absence of problems or the presence of meaning or the absence of meaning. Fuck you. It's really without measure. And as it is without measure, irresolvable, if you want to borrow from someone else's terminology. You can't reach a conclusion. You wouldn't dare. Because you're just right. The fuck are you? Radiantly open, radiantly available, radiantly disinterested. You don't lift a finger to be or do or not be, or not do anything. Because this is appearing improvisationally. And it's got nothing to do with you. You can find the appearance of a life that, you know, you belong to or that belongs to you. But that's unreal. That's not true. That's a sitcom.
Drama.
Yep. That's right. If you're not getting some good ratings over here, change the, right? Change the storyline to improve the ratings over there. You see how wonderfully we grip at everything and anything to enroll it in the imagination of self. The story and continuity of self, of my emotion, of my presumptions, of my religion, of my philosophy, of my cosmology, of my stuff.
I don't even know if I can take credit for that.
No, you can't.
It just seems to happen.
Doesn't it?
I don't know.
Well said. It yeah. does, right? The angst of me, in a sense, has nothing to do with me, but try to shake it off.
It's sticky.
It's sticky, man. Right? Okay, so. You see, so if I'm embroiled as the imaginary recipient of this improvisational stickiness, then I'm going to go to some kind of guru or teacher or healer to get, you know, to get rid of it.
Solvent.
That's right. Solve it. Solvent. Sure. Yeah.
Solvent.
Yes. But if you're not on the receiving end of anything, including perpetual angst, yeah. Even wishing that some kind of suffering should be resolved, which we can understand as, you know, let's say an intelligent reflex, entraps you once again, right, as the recipient of some circumstance that is somehow unnerving or unpleasant or, you know, needs to stop or be improved. And I'm not trying to create some kind of, you know, silly panacea. There's a fuckload of humans that are doing a fuckload of suffering. Not just, you know, our white middle class, I can't find the pair of shoes at Marshall's suffering. You know, I mean, some real dig, you know, dig in deep suffering.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. And cultures all over the world, were there a world, you know, all figure out how to survive in the way that they survive, or thrive in the way that they thrive, or care for their children in the way that they can, with whatever meager calories may be available. While those of us privileged to own weapons and then deploy those weapons out of theoretical differences perpetrate immense suffering. And hey, I pay my taxes, I chip into the machine. I chip into the machine. You know, I haven't left for Canada or wherever you think you could go to not be a member of the machine.
Good luck.
Thailand? Where, India, where are you going to go? Where you're not going to be embroiled in, right, the machine of human endeavor, of human suffering. even if the likelihood of self-realization is slim, the heroic thing to do is try anyway. Not so much for the prize that someone might think is on the other end of the rainbow, but do it because it's one's sacred duty to apply oneself to the liberation of the soul. Regardless of your chances. Right? You don't back out and say, I'm not going to try because, you know, I don't buy lottery tickets either. Why should I want to get enlightened? I mean, am I stupid? I'm not stupid. Maybe a jackass, but I'm not stupid. Yeah, so you don't, you know. You do it anyway.
What's the alternative?
Yeah, right. What's the alternative? That's right. Uh-huh.
Someone could say, what do you got to lose?
When you've turned a certain corner, you know, you've crossed the event horizon, you're going down. So, yeah, you give it your best shot. You know, what do we have in a life but the, let's call it the miraculous gift, if there is such a thing, to lend our heart to something? I don't want to get all Kaylee Marino on the subject.
She'll probably listen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, she'll hear this. Right. That's right. Uh-huh. And a circus bear doesn't eat your face. I mean, you know, what are you but a, what would you call it? A phenomenon. A ball, right, a vessel, an etheric presence of possibility. Well, far out, lend your heart to something.
The problem, to me, is defining what that is, and then you're back in the ballgame again.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. That's the conundrum of, right? A mind
that
pursuing
the parses and
that's right. That's right. The parsing and deciding, or parsing and choosing mind, manages to, you know, I don't know, dig its own grave.
Yeah.
Right, as it fights to you know, escape from a paper bag, it remains in a paper bag. I'm gonna get out of this paper bag. Not likely. Not that way. You're not. I've had enough of this paper bag. I'm out of here.
I want a different paper
bag. Yeah.
Get me a better
That's right.
Bag.
Uh-huh. Then I want to get some kibbles. As soon as I get out of this paper bag, I'm going to get me some kibbles. And then I'm going to eat a bird. All right, then. Stay with it. Stay with the program. You know, you start talking about, like, awareness and consciousness and consciousness and awareness, and you start using clever, you know, non-duality vocabulary. You're like, shut the fuck up. Because we become object bearing. You can give me some really lofty speech. And what am I going to do with it? I'm going to objectify it. Yeah. Then I'm going to see them and pretend that there's a path from here to there. I'm gonna walk on the lotus flowers of your lofty speech from here to there. That sounds like a pretty nice paper bag right there. What is the point of it? what is it like to rest? And even rest is not necessarily important. You could say, writhe. Chill. Scream against the empire. Doesn't matter. What if your present experience has no implication? What if there's nothing in it?
Where could the implication go to? I mean, there's no substrate. There's nothing there.
Unless you imagine one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Good at that.
Okay. Yes, it is. It's good at that.
Yeah.
And you're the, you know, you appear to be, I appear to be, we, this appears to be the collateral damage of, right, the miraculous skill to imagine context.
Well, that's the pride of being a human.
Okay. I hear you. Yep. Sure.
Reserved for humankind.
All right. Well, you know.
In context every time we turn around.
It's the pride of, you know, what we might refer to as individuation.
Yeah.
Yeah. The human thing comes in later, even.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, see? Well, I used to think I knew, but, you know, I don't. Right? Where does the original sin begin? With what? You know, a bite of an apple, right? A shame about being naked? You know, talking with a snake? Have you been conversing with snakes? Busted. Are you made of anything? Really? Are you the consequence of something? Really? Have you been somewhere? Show me the photos. Are you going somewhere? You know, I got tickets and a boarding pass. What should I do with this consciousness? I know. I'll go to the casino. You got locomotion and sharp teeth. Well, party.
Opposable thumb doesn't hurt.
Yeah, right? It's amazing what you got. Locomotion, opposable thumb, sharp teeth, symbology. Yeah. I mean, you're beyond awesome, like the Lego movie said. Everything is awesome.
Come in? No. I just lied to you.
That's your aunt, sister.
Can I just glance through that your answer book?
Yes.
Holy freaking shit. I've heard about it. I didn't really know what the details were.
What
is it? Urantia? U-R-A-N-T-I-A? It's a pretty famous.
Yes.
Depending on who you are, but.
What did it say to you?
2,000 pages. Their description of our world and this universe and that universe, and the archangels came, and Jesus' message is this, and God's like this, and all.
Wow.
This is like a 2,000-page monstrous freaking tome about cosmology.
Yep. Yep.
Is it downstairs?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it for the little kitties, the little babies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they pass it around from crib to crib. Hey, Bonnie, check this shit out.
7,000 years ago, whatever angel did this.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah.
There's some real inspiration behind that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody was tripping balls when they wrote that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that kind of
shit. And imagination is it's a tough thing to have.
Yeah, that puts Course in Miracles to shame.
Yeah, really.
Course in Miracles is gonna step their game up.
Whatever present experience might be, you have nothing to do with it. You don't have to take delivery of present experience to place yourself in some kind of context or content. You don't have to be from someplace, from somewhere. You don't have to have any cogent or imagined idea about anything. What, do we feel that we'll be left out if we don't have an opinion? What if you don't? What if you don't want or need anything to be next? There's no longer the slightest hint of anticipation in you. Strange, right? You don't manufacture the imagination of a world because there's no longer the slightest hint of implication in you. The acquisitive nature of mind paints with, you know, broad strokes or a very fine brush, a rapidograph. Fine dots. and imagines itself to have been from somewhere and perpetually going somewhere else other than here, other than now. And if the reflex of implication or derivation is quiesced, you don't have a story to tell. The reflex to frame yourself as being vital or useful, vettable, validatable, worthy, worth it. Not happening. You're just not happening.
Symbology wouldn't even work. It would be totally misleading trying to symbolize.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We rely on it. Apparently we rely on it. We don't really know if symbology is actually useful or that it can be held somehow responsible for our great accomplishments as a species or a civilization. It appears. But to think or feel or insist that the fascinating capacity of symbology is actually responsible for something, that might not be true.
And the evidence, if I could call it that,
uh-huh,
would be that indications are that it's not true because the symbology doesn't seem to exist at moments here and there. And that's the indescribable.
Yes. Yeah. Lapse. The lapse of symbology is, well, could we dare say it's curiously ongoing? Even though we are so, let's just say, involuntarily addicted to symbology, doesn't cancel out the curious observation that this is also lapsed. There's no quarrel between the presence of symbology and the revelation of lapse. And yet we use, you could say, remarkable tools and skills of symbology, it appears, to build a car, to fly to the moon, or to pretend that we never actually made it to the moon. It doesn't matter whether we got there or not, you know, the pageantry is fantastic. Are we merely the, you know, complex outgassing of the miracle of photosynthesis? How many miles of arteries and veins and capillaries do we have? Quite a few, actually. And lymph and crazy chemicals. Where do we place consciousness or sentience in some kind of chronological compartmentalization or utility. Well, shortly after the big, your mom and dad got it together at the drive-in. And, wow, it wasn't long after that that, you know, you were here. Wow. You sure it wasn't a stork? Or a pelican?
Millions of years and many months later.
Right. What is communion? What's it supposed to feel like? What are the Buddhist jhanas? What are they supposed to feel like? What do I actually become in the throes of an ayahuascan journey? And does the acetylcholine, which envisions various conditions of incomprehensibility, actually give me a reliable memory record to say what occurred? No, it doesn't. But having been to Peru, I got to tell somebody something about something, because otherwise I got nothing. And it's not, that's not just about going to Peru. You could go to the corner market and you got the same conundrum. Right? You can stub your toe, right, on your kitchen table. You have the same conundrum as you would having gone to Peru and coming back and having, you know, something to tell somebody about something. Yeah, you want pineal activation. You want a shaman to stroke your pituitary gland, you know, or a svelte creature of your sexual preference to deeply massage your sinus. Is your capacity for wonder and revelation dependent upon anything? A warm bath? A good haircut? A jog around the lake? A ribeye with fried onions?
It always seems like it's dependent. How can I put it? You know, that it is dependent on the settling down of something. But
yeah,
I don't know. I have no clue.
There you go.
It might be totally not that.
As much as it might feel or look or sense as being that, it might not be.
I mean, you know, I try to put two and two together, but
and that's gotten you far.
I know.
You have so many two and twos.
That's why I'm like two twos.
Yeah, that's right. That's why you dance around in them. Why are you wearing that tutu? I'm trying to put it together. Can't you see? You see, once you start blurting out some bullshit cosmology, like Peter Brown's cosmology, for instance, or anyone's for that matter, well, you know, now you have to defend it. Now it becomes the coin of the realm. It becomes the coin of the realm. You're like, Fuck that. You mean to tell me you can't get liberated eating a lime cracker? That is liberation. Do I have to have some insight into somebody's arcane philosophy and cosmology about the nature of whatever? No. I surely don't. You know, it's okay being the lamb, even though you were born a lion. What the hell? Simba wasn't suffering during those years of Kahuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. Sarkuna Falata. I'm not good with popular culture. I use it as if, you know, I know it, but I'm a poser.
That was the one thing you had, your cosmology.
Mm.
That's a lie.
But I could try to sing Officer Krupke. When you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. Broadway tunes sung it. We just get together, we sing Broadway tunes, go out for a burger, hey, call it a night.
We could just go over to the Yellow Barn Sunday mornings and deliver.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we could. We should all show up and sing show tunes to the Pebble Hill community.
We could fit right in.
Show tunes with the Night Sky Sangha. Those people can't sing worth shit. Put our hearts in it. And we have a drum.
And they bring angels.
That's right.
And they bring what?
Angels.
Something from the Book of Mormon.
That would be fun, yeah.
How many angels will get then.
Uh-huh, that's right. The feeling tone of your unconditioned condition is not dependent upon the cosmology. I mean, you are so, call it, fucking free, it's scary. And we spend, let's say, a lot of calories convincing ourselves otherwise.
Maybe because it's scary.
Maybe. Who knows? In search of the lost chord. We compound and confound the liberating signature of present experience by imagining that we know what it is. And we don't. Nor do we need to. So you have access to, let's say, perfect erasure in the midst of your to-do list. You see the reflex to try to make perfect erasure an object of self is no longer perfect erasure. Now you're once again tethered to the contrivance of an imaginary to-do list or an imaginary to-be list. In the future, this will be a scene, a diorama scene, at the Museum of Natural History. Homo sapiens reaching for a lime chip while discussing self-realization.
Minutes before the apocalypse?
Yeah, moments before the apocalypse. And little children will come up to the diorama saying, "What are they doing, Mommy? Those are Homo sapiens eating lime chips, hoping one day for self-realization." Wow, how primitive. That's right. Wow, they had fire.
Not solar energy.
What happened to them, Mommy? They went extinct. Did you read? I read this thing today. It shocked me. It was terrible, really. An admiral, kind of, you know, part of this Joint Chiefs posturing around the LGBTQ or transgender thing from the POTUS. This admiral said, "Drop a nuke on China if Trump told me to." I was like, that's a terrible thing to say.
Yes.
I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. What a betrayal. What a betrayal. As if with the, you know, the medals and the history of, you know, service. This was an admiral. Right? Would be quoted saying such a horrific piece of nonsense. And that the news picked it up and that, you know, the asshole hasn't been fired. What a frivolous, horrific comment to make, to portray loyalty to the, right? Loyalty to what? To insanity? To the Constitution? To the right of freedom for Americans? What the fuck was the justification for such heinous criminality and stupidity? And yet, I'm sure there's so many red state folks just loving the shit out of that. Like, well, if we're not doomed, we deserve to be doomed.
Well, it'll go without nearly the scrutiny that it once would have.
There's, you know, not that many voices remaining, let's say, that would hold, you know, that person responsible for such a treasonous and heinous remark.
Well, if an opening comes up, I think that he'll come to consider him for whatever it is.
Narcissists are insatiable. That you think our hell realm is bad. We are like skating through this shit. The clinical narcissist lives in an absolute hell realm. Why the species continues to elevate clinical narcissists to positions of frightening power, I don't get that one. But I'm just
the tricksters, you know. These narcissists, they oftentimes,
yes,
beguiling.
Yeah.
Tricksters.
I mean, who else would go through the whole political process and campaigning? There's no one else running.
Yeah, right. No one that has any self-dignity would dare even do it. So maybe that's it. If you had a lick of self-dignity, you wouldn't go anywhere near it. So only a certain class of human being pursues, right, power or control or political influence. The insatiables, the hungry ghost insatiables.
Unless they got pissed off when they were small, like Bernie, you know, like, this is bullshit, I'm going to, you know, I'm gonna stand up.
Right.
He's done that his whole freaking life. He hasn't changed his theme.
Yeah. Not to become too political.
Oh, no, never.
Oh, no, never. No, we want to keep this, we want to keep this, we want to keep this lofty and, you know, focused on the Bindu.
And let's get the Trump supporters in here, damn it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.